You used to love cooking intimate dinners for that special someone. You'd spend hours leafing through recipe books and driving all over town for the freshest ingredients. But between kids, career, commutes, those wonderful candlelight dinners have been replaced by boring, less than nutritious takeout or some frozen ball of yuck that you'd nuke for a few minutes. Here's my advice. Plated. Plated is for busy people who love cooking but have zero time for shopping. I love to cook, but I never have time. So I tried Plated, and I can tell you, it was pretty incredible. Last week, I made a delicious dessert that my girlfriend went crazy for. It was spectacular and easy. Just go to plated.com/date and choose from amazing chef-designed recipes with new selections every week to fit everyone's taste. Next, the culinary pros at Plated lovingly fill a refrigerated box with just the perfect pre-proportioned ingredients for your dinner. If the recipe calls for half a teaspoon of crushed red pepper, for example, it's included. Nothing is wasted. Everything's delivered to your door. Fresh meat, poultry, fish, farm-fresh veggies, spices, everything you need. On the date that you choose. Not home for delivery? Don't worry. Your Plated box keeps everything fresh until midnight on the day it arrives. Prepare chef-quality meals in 30 minutes or less. It's that easy. Hurry over to plated.com/date now and get free dinner for two with your first purchase. Yep, that's a free dinner for two. Go to plated.com/date, plated.com/date, plated.com/date.
Baby, I've been going crazy, cause I want you, baby.
Hey!
What's up?
Hey, how's it going?
This is Date Fails. I'm Kate Quigley.
I'm Stephen Kramer Glickman.
We're here.
We are here, and we're... And we're hilarious, and we're
super fun.
Ready for action.
Yes. Well, and we have the voice of Sam Tripoli. Should we just introduce Sam?
Yeah,
since he's
the
voice.
I like to call it the voice of God.
we have one of our favorite stand-up comics on the planet here today. You have seen him all over television and all over the world, for many years. The guy's the best. He's the best of the best.
That's a nice way to say
runs,
I'm an old man.
The one of the greatest stand-up shows, one of the greatest live stand-up shows in town, the Naughty Show, which is
amazing.
Overtly,
hot girls, burlesque dancers.
That's where we met Joanna Angel. It's where I met Malice.
Yeah.
Where I've met all my favorite sexy, you know, some of my favorite sexy ladies.
Yeah.
Ever.
Adult film stars.
Oh my God, man.
Adult film stars are a lot. Are you going to introduce me?
Oh yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Sam Tripoli.
Sam Tripoli.
Yeah.
Also, you got your own podcast. You should plug your own podcast.
Yeah, I have two real fun podcasts. I do Punch Drunk Sports with my good friend Ari Shafir and Jason Tebow. And then I have a, if you go to iTunes or wherever, look up The Naughty Show. I have a new podcast on that feed. It's called the International Bad Boys Hour. It's like the most adult, it's like the most like insane stories of like crime, sex, drugs, and bad decisions. It's I was telling Sean out there, it's like my whole goal is to bring like fucking Quentin Tarantino style like comedy, like just like ultra dark, dirty, crazy. I feel like everything's so safe now and or like like status quo, and it's been done 1,000 times, and like I just want to get real on stage, and that's kind of what the podcast is about.
I love that you're doing that
shit, dude.
You've always been bringing it, though. You've been bringing, you know, the real shit for like as long as I've known you, man. I mean for way longer than I've known
you. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
You've been doing stand-up for how long?
I've been doing stand-up for almost 20 years.
Wow. Holy
yeah.
shit.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, and you've
it's changed, dude. It's totally changed. When I started, everybody wanted to be Seinfeld, you know?
Wow.
Everybody wanted to be married and have observational comedy, which is great. Seinfeld is one of my favorite comics of all time.
Sure.
You know, so I was doing then what I'm doing now. I just do it much better now, you know? But I was trying that back then.
Wow.
This
hilarious.
Really ultra filthy. Like,
not fit in.
Well, what's the deal? What's the deal with ladies' assholes?
Yeah.
What's that all about?
My friend said, dude, your whole act is just drugs and assholes. Asshole. I'm like, you know what? That might be the name of my special.
That should
Drugs
be.
And Asshole.
Drugs and Asshole.
So now I'm doing it now, and it's like kind of fun to like see like where comedy is. I just think it's like, just be honest, dude. You know? Just be fucking honest on stage. Everybody wants honesty until you start getting honest. That's what I really learned. And like, I'm just trying to be truthful on stage. And it's been going well. It's been going well.
Can I just say that Sam gave me the best advice that anyone has given me in show business? Like, I feel like I owe so much to you, because I can remember like a year ago having this conversation with Sam at the Comedy Store where I was like, everyone is giving me shit for posting these sexy photos on my Instagram and like bikini photos, and people are talking shit. And Sam was like, listen, in this business, you got to use any tool you have.
100%.
Anything you have, use it, and don't worry about what other people think and don't question it. And it was honestly like a switch flipped in my brain from that point on. I was just like, fuck everyone. If I think something's funny, or if I want to post it, or if I think people will follow me, I'm just doing it.
We live in an attention whore society. Not that you're attention whore, but I mean, the point is, like, whatever you got to do to get eyeballs on you, you do it.
Yeah.
And like, stand-up comedy is very funny because it is literally the only like form of entertainment that tries to stay away from like the train wreck, like attention whore way of promotion. Like, comedy clubs love to be like, keep it safe, keep it safe. Whereas like, it should be chaos,
right?
And people show up to
see.
Should
be the opposite.
You know, a great example is like Gallagher. You know, when Gallagher, the first time Gallagher ever smashed a watermelon was at the Westwood Comedy Store, and he smashed it in the show. And then the next day he gets a call from Mitzi, and Mitzi's like, are you gonna smash watermelons again? He's like, I'm so sorry. She's like, no, do it again. We're already sold out. You know, it's like, that's, if you look at like reality stars, movie stars, Miley Cyrus is all about train wreck shit to get people to come see you. And that's why I was like, you know what, man, whatever it takes to get eyeballs on you, do it.
Well, not just, I feel like it's not even about just being a train wreck.
No,
it's
not, that's the wrong word for it.
But yeah, no, but you're right. But it's anyone that's doing anything that's different.
Yes.
You do something that's different, everybody in the industry wants to hate on you and talk shit about you.
Right.
But everybody outside of the industry is like, oh, what the fuck is this person doing? Why are they doing? It's just interesting.
I feel that like people get really angry if you don't do what they do. Like, people love to support people who make them feel how awesome about how they feel about themselves. You know, when you do something different than them that challenges what they do, they get really fucking angry. In comedy, you see it all the time. Like, I do shows, I get push farther and farther back in the lineups because I'm going up there telling truth when everybody else wants to do what we've already talked about 1,000 times. And they love to dismiss it. They'll come up with like, oh, he's just filthy and all that stuff. But, you know, I watch a lot of dirty people and nobody gets angry at them because, you know, it's just like, when you threaten people, people get really nervous, you know. You threaten what they're doing, and you know, all you're doing is just getting eyeballs on you, and that's really all you and you should do it. Why not?
Right.
When I left in New York to do that Broadway thing, when I was working at the Comic Store, every single person that worked at the store at that time, all the guys, a lot of the guys that were working out, except for you, were like, oh, you're an actor now? Oh, actor, whatever, loser.
Yeah.
And then I came back from New York and everybody was taking acting classes.
Yeah.
But like, no one, there was not one, like Nick Youssef, all those guys. None of those guys were taking acting classes, but now a lot of them, like, I'm not saying, I mean, maybe Nick had taken acting classes at some point, but like, if you looked at the way the dynamic was before comics started going back to TV and getting cast on TV.
We're in the golden era of comedy.
Right now, like, D'Elia being on TV with 5 other comics, every single comic I know is taking acting classes.
Well, you know,
like,
also,
everybody wants, like, but you know, when you're weird and you're outside on the fringe and you're doing something that's different or original, like, people get weird, people get pissed, they don't like it. They get,
if you threaten what they do, if you don't play to what they like, that makes them feel good about themselves, they get very angry and they try to isolate you.
Yeah.
A big thing about comedy that I wish I could tell young comics is that like comedians who make it run in packs, groups rise. That's the truth.
Yeah.
And I always feel like that's the big problem with my group and the guys who I started with. We all went our own way, and that's why none of us, and they could get mad at me if I say this. I mean, a couple of them are big stand-up wise, but in terms of like television and movies, that's why none of us have really hit, is because we all went our separate ways. As funny as each of us it didn't happen because, you know, we went Boba Fett and we all were like lone assassins and we did that. Whereas like if you get a group of people who work together, those are the groups that rise. You know, if you see like the alt comics, black comics, you know, Chris D'Elia and the Undateables are, you know, with the exception of Ron Funchins, like those guys all hung out together on the patio of the Comedy Store almost every night.
Yeah,
groups exactly. Rise.
Yep, 100%, man, 100%. And I like not to change subjects or anything like this, but you and me have known each other for a very long time.
Yeah,
and we performed together at I'll never forget that in my life. Is we went to PB together and we performed
Pacific Beach.
Yeah, in Pacific Beach.
Yeah,
we went to Pacific Beach and we got to do a show together. And you were so nice to me after the show, and like you said all great stuff, all sorts of nice stuff about my act at that point. And you were the first person.
I felt you buried me that night.
Well,
I thought you had a really great set and I had the fucking struggle following you.
But
and when I get scared, I could either like get angry or I could like embrace and be like, okay, a gun recognizes a gun. You know what I'm saying?
But you were so positive in the way that you handled me with that night. And like you were the only person aside from that shitbox, that shitbox Dante, who like I had gone out on the road. I hadn't gone out with anybody else. So you were the only person that I'd gotten to go with. And you were so fucking nice to me.
Comedy is a really weird thing because it's so hard to take out really strong people.
Yeah.
Because music's great because like the Rolling Stones can take out Rage Against the Machine because there's an hour break in between their set and that set.
Totally.
You know, in stand-up, man, you bring out a feature who flamethrows a room, you gotta walk into like a 5 o'clock fire, man, and you're like, you know, you gotta go Fire Marshal Bill on everything.
Totally true.
Not only am I trying to survive, but I gotta get laughs too and be even funnier than the last guy, which is really hard. Comedy's the only place where, you know, and don't get me wrong, there's people like Rogan and there's guys who bring out, like, I'll try to bring out people who fucking flamethrower. I'm not afraid of a flamethrower. I think it makes my show better, and there are people who do that, but a lot of times it's like people like to follow people who are get laughs but not too, you
not
know,
too many.
Yeah, there was an old saying about Rodney Dangerfield. He would be like, hey, before his feature would go up, be like, hey, good luck. Do well. Not too well, but do well.
So funny.
Oh no, God. But you're like multi-talented, dude. And then, you know, when we were writing on your show, I was like, you got to bring that singing back in because that's Jimmy Fallon's changed the game.
Yeah, no, we have to bring that back in.
We got to talk about your show.
Oh, so this is what happened. So two nights ago, this will air soon. So, October, it was October 14th.
Uh-huh.
We did this new live stand-up show that I'm producing with a bunch of wonderful people, including Sam is working on it and writing on it, and he's phenomenal. And it's kind of like a live version of the Tonight Show, like a live Tonight Show.
Called the Nighttime Show.
It's called the Nighttime Show. Yeah. And it's all the guests on the show are comedians, and they come up, they perform, and they do their set, and then I interview them on the couch, and we do like weird bits and weird kind of stuff. It's kind of like a little bit of Comedy Bang Bang, a little bit Eric Andre Show, but live in front of a packed room.
And they were great crowds.
Oh, they were so great.
Weinbach was awesome.
Oh, yeah, we had Eric Weinbach. We had Jonathan Kight from Two Broke Girls.
He was great.
Bobby Lee from Mad TV, who, it's so fun because people love watching Bobby, and they can see him all the time at the Comedy Store, but seeing him at like an intimate room where it's just like 150 people.
By the way, the best part of Bobby Lee is right before he goes on stage and the fear that he is going through. Like he's questioning whether he should just kill himself right there.
Every time.
Every fucking time. It's like, how many times you have to murder in a row before you're like, I got this?
Yeah, it's 100%
he still doesn't
true.
Think that. He's a perfect example of someone that doesn't want to take, like, he still gets scared to follow people who are hilarious, even
100%.
Though he's so funny.
And he destroys every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, to make a long story short, as we were about to, I did the monologue, which you guys wrote, which was hysterical. I just did a bunch of like headlines, Kate, you know, like headline. Hey, here's a funny
story.
Oh, the
band was great too.
Oh, we had Ex Mortis, the death metal band. Oh,
they were
great.
The crowd really liked it. It's so interesting to see heavy metal, how people react to it in Los Angeles, because the rest of the country, everybody loves metal.
Right, right.
In LA, it's just like you think it was like the Republican National Convention, the way people react to fucking metal, dude, but the crowd fucking loved
it. They were really excited. It's exciting. It was like they sound amazing. And long story short, I do my last joke in the monologue, and I go, "We got a great show!" And the band starts playing, and I turn. I'm wearing a bright white suit, by the way. I turn to like,
which
walk.
Is a classic Glickman.
So you in a white suit sounds.
Glickman has always been the white Cedric the Entertainer. Has always. He always
have a lot of crazy suits. And I turn to walk to my desk, and my foot misses the edge of the stage.
Oh yeah!
I go straight down to the floor from the top of the stage,
Jesus.
Face first into the ground, and break my foot right at the top of
Unreal.
The show. So I have a broken foot. I climb back onto the stage, go to the desk, sit down, and I think some of the audience was like, a lot of the audience thought it was a bit. Like they didn't realize that I just broke my foot.
Yeah.
And I didn't know I broke my foot until around Bobby Lee, about halfway through the show, when I realized that it was definitely broken. And I stayed on stage the whole show. And we did an hour and a half show. And then, you know, we had an awesome time. And I can't wait to do it again. We're doing it again November 11th.
You had the 10-year-old comedian on.
Oh, yeah. So we had
unbelievable, dude.
Was she great?
It was both awesome and depressing all at the same time.
Her name is Saffron?
Saffron Herndon.
And she's
Herndon.
White from Texas with a name Saffron Herndon.
Right.
Yes. She was,
how did that happen?
I
did
don't
anyone
know.
Ask her parents?
I don't know. That's so uncomfortable.
That kid is so damn funny and was so funny on the show. And she just did the Today Show, and she's about to go do The View. She's like a week away from doing The View.
And dude, she's like, yeah, I met with Disney. And then the next breath is like, fuck Disney. I'm like, what? Yeah. Everyone's laughing. She's getting away with shit that, like, I was watching her going, I could never say that. Yeah. No one would ever laugh. She's like ripping Jesus. And she's just like, you and your fake prophets. And I'm just like, Jesus.
Wow.
Are you serious? Like,
doing stripper jokes. Everyone's like, oh, what is going on with this kid? Best part
awesome.
Of the show, though, was doing coke with her after, dude.
Oh, no.
Dude, that girl can do coke,
no.
bro. It's like 10-year-old. Slow down.
Oh, that's
God.
Amazing.
She's like, this California coke sucks. You gotta try to Houston blow. I was like, Jesus, kid. Pace
we should
yourself.
Have had her on this show. I wanted to have her on here and hear about her dating
life. She's very advanced for her age.
She
obviously,
really is.
She's got to be a genius.
My favorite joke was is probably the joke where she goes, "So online dating is hard. Every time I meet a guy, he ends up in prison."
That's a great bit.
That is so funny.
I don't know
funny.
Who's writing for her, but she's
somebody's a genius.
There's
right?
something about that.
You know what though?
No, she's
kinda,
10.
It's kind of like a magic trick. Like I don't want to know exactly how it happens, but I do know after I went and had dinner with her and her family, that girl is hilarious
she's
on her own.
Fast.
So she's super funny. She was fast on the couch when I interviewed her on the couch.
Oh, very
super
lethal.
Funny.
She yelled, "D's nuts." I was like, okay, the kids. Like, why do we worry about that? Everyone's like, what about the children? The children are fucked. Don't worry about them. They're just adults without any responsibility.
They really
Don't
are.
Worry about them.
At this point, they really, really are.
They really
wow.
are.
That's amazing.
All right, guys. Are you guys ready for our big guest?
A bigger guest than me.
A bigger guest than Sam.
This is so overpacked with
Impossible.
Guests.
This is our big celeb guest, Sam, and she's here for you because
I'm dying to hear who it is.
Just for you, Sam.
Just
Thank
for you,
you.
Sam. You may know her as a politician.
Yes.
You may know her as
a radio host.
As a radio host.
Yes.
Or you may know her from Playboy.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Cinemax.
Mary Carey.
Mary Carey.
That's great. That was was a great. That was better than any strip club intro I've ever had.
Yeah.
I'm gonna bring you to all my strip club bookings and have you do my intro before I go on stage.
That sounds great.
That'd be That's so a good awesome. Compliment.
Can I just say that I really appreciate how hard that button's working right now? That button is just.
This is my classy attire. You know?
Look
this is,
beautiful.
This is my, like,
no, you look fantastic.
You know,
like,
the button's like must hold on.
Well, it's hard because I have to buy shirts that are larger at the top, and then like sometimes the bottom gets really big, you know, to get things. Yeah. So I get a lot of stuff at BB because BB makes good, like, you know, like whore clothing. Things are big in the boobs, tight in the waist. Yeah, BB is. That's why if you go to porn conventions, like all the porn stars are in BB.
Yeah.
One, because porn stars think BB is like super classy and expensive. And two, because it actually fits like the big boobs and the small waist. And you can buy like a small.
That is hard.
We actually have to do our commercial real quick for BB.
I know. Kate, I really should get
Kate,
sponsored.
You know this, right?
BB.
The horror collection.
For the modern woman.
Do you like to go airtight? Then go BB. And you do Cinemax too?
I do Cinemax.
Does anybody
too.
Like softcore porn?
I love it. I love doing it.
I think girls do.
No.
I don't know really watches it. People think it's still, people get mad at me. They're like, Dr. Drew's gonna be so mad you're still doing porn. I'm like, it's not real. Like, I'm actually doing it. Like, why do I'm like really into the acting of it. Like, I love it. We do 15 pages of dialogue a day. We, you know, it's very hard, but I love doing the acting, you know, and for me, it's very fun. And the guys wear a stocking on their.
That's
on their
so business. Funny.
They wear a stocking?
Like a nylon. Like, you know, if you go like to try on shoes at a store and you don't have socks, they give you like a nylon.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and they put a rubber band like to attach it to them. Like,
do you get to pick the dick?
No, you get like, you just work with, you know, you work with whoever, but usually it's, you know, a lot of male porn stars. We had a guy who was like, you know, a mainstream guy, and he was very confused with the sock situation. And he would get hard-ons. You're not supposed to get hard.
How are you supposed to not get hard? What do you tell yourself that?
I don't.
Yeah, how do you not get hard?
Wouldn't you be
offended if he didn't get hard?
Yes.
I'm trying to think that, like, some of the mainstream guys sometimes are also very nervous too. So some of them don't get hard or do, and
to have slow grind. Yes. I wouldn't be hard. I've been doing that since fifth grade.
Come on.
I used to get gene fucking burn on my dick.
Oh my god, I would get sore from like grinding on a guy.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
For like hours. From,
right.
Like, yeah,
I ruined a couple genes that way.
I just think softcore porn is like the WNBA. It's like you're watching a lot of penetrating, but you're not really enjoying what you're watching.
But
you know what I'm saying?
Great plots. I've gotten to be like the head of a space station.
I've gotten to be the head of a network.
Yeah. And, and when I do like any mainstream roles, I'm always like stripper or prostitute. So it's so fun to be in Cinemax movies where I get to be like,
what is the space movie? Because we will watch
it's
that.
It's called Naked in Space.
Naked in Space.
Yes.
Can I just ask, what is the Great Bikini Bowling Bash?
That's one of my favorite ones. That one I got to play a dumb blonde. I love playing a dumb blonde because it's obviously the easiest role for me to play. It was just a bowling. We were like in a bowling league and we had to, you know, raise $1 million. I don't actually remember the plot, but it's really good.
That was like the Debbie Does Dallas plot. Do you remember that?
Yes.
How different porn was back there? First of all, the bushes. Everyone had monster bushes.
I hate bushes.
Bushes ever make a comeback?
I heard that some girls have it. Like, I personally don't like because I think it's itchy.
I want a mohawk bush, just like a streamline. Like,
you mean for you or for a girl?
For the girl.
For the girl.
I want like a shark fin of fur.
Sam, there was a bush comeback. It happened 2 years ago. I'm not kidding you.
No,
this is a real thing. There was a real bush comeback, and it was for a whole year. It was in porn. It was all about bushes again.
Yeah.
And then the industry was kind of like pass.
Really?
I don't like licking vaginas when there's a bush.
Well, who would?
I don't
Nobody
know how guys.
Wants hair.
I mean, I'm assuming guys.
So,
with it.
do you in your own personal life are you hooking up with ladies as well or how? Does
you know,
that work?
When I apparently when I like, well, I'm trying not to drink again. I go back and forth, obviously, with my drinking, but I debate. But it's a daily battle. Am I an alcoholic? Am I not? But when I do get when I do get drunk, I do tend like my girlfriend, which I didn't remember, told me. My friend Alicia told me that she gave me a compliment that I looked pretty, and then I guess I started being like, let's make out, and I had like a napkin in front of us at the restaurant. I was trying to make out with her. I told her to come home. I had tons of toys to use, so I guess I do turn like that when I drink. But
Wait,
when I'm not drunk, I don't like women like that.
Got it.
You hid behind a napkin to make out with a restaurant?
Yeah, like I was in a restaurant. I guess I held the napkin up, like I opened it, and I was like making out with her. I don't know.
I like
why.
That you made a
so nobody really, got to watch that?
Yeah, I have very crazy
logic. So the people at Buffalo Wild Wings are like, what the fuck is going on at table
like
seven?
Electric Cafe or something on like Lancashire. Like we were not anywhere like classy or anything, like, you know, but yeah, that was.
How many people are demanding to talk to the management after watching two porn stars make out? Can I talk to management real quick?
So you're just a lesbian when you're a
but
little
I mean,
butt.
I like girls. I think girls are hotter than guys.
Well,
like,
yeah.
You know, it's so.
Do funny. They smell better?
I don't have a sense of smell, so that's
really?
What I lack. Yeah, I don't have a sense of smell. I've never smelt anything ever in my entire
life.
What?
Yeah, you were born with no sense of smell?
I went in for like a
I would just be ripping farts all day.
You know what? That's the first thing when I would start
great
dating
girlfriend.
Guys. I fart more than guys, so it's like, I don't know. Because I guess I don't get the concept of them.
Sure.
So to me, they're just like a noise. And so like,
oh
I never,
God.
I mean, I remember
they're
in sixth grade.
Noise.
Well, no, but
that's
no.
That's amazing.
In sixth grade, I remember I let out, this is how I found out farts smell. In sixth grade, I let out a silent fart. And I remember people in class were like, oh, someone farted. I'm like, how'd they know? It was quiet. And they're like, whoever smelled it, dealt it. I'm like, what are these people talking about? It was like it was a quiet fart. I had no clue that like.
When did you realize you didn't have smell? When someone go, do you smell that?
And
you're like, what?
Like in Girl Scouts in fourth grade, we'd pass things around to smell. And I would have to copy what the girl, you know, the other girls did. If they were like, ew, if they were like, oh, this is great. I just copied them because I realized I had no like reaction myself to it. And I went in for like a CAT scan 2 years ago because they thought maybe there was something clogged, but there's not. I just like, he thinks I had a sickness as a child. And I don't know. I don't really mind it because I've never had it. So.
Yeah, it's great.
It seems like a great, kind of a great thing.
It feels
yeah.
like people complain
smell.
More about bad smelling. It just sucks.
Right.
I wouldn't know. Like when I did do porn, I would do like 3 douches because I didn't know if I smelled or not. I was so paranoid
well, you know,
of like smelling.
Wow. A friend of mine in college had couldn't smell. And I go, how do you know if the pussy smells bad? He goes, I can feel it.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah,
he
says he
feel it.
I don't know. I have sense of smell, so I don't know. But he said I could feel it. I go, you can tell when the pussy smells bad. He goes, yeah, I can feel it on my face.
I think it tastes slightly different. I mean, I don't think I taste things like you guys, like normal people, but things taste like a little different.
Well,
well
when
yeah.
The, when the pussy's bad, you ever you know you have the whole what's that called?
Asshole.
No, the. The shield, the invisible shield. What's that
what?
Thing called?
What?
What are you talking about?
Hey, Maria, what's that called? The invisible shield?
She has no idea what you're talking about.
Maria.
I'd like to know what
this
is. I'm
pretty sure
shield.
You're making this up. I have no clue what
what's
you're the, talking about.
What's the shield
there's
that
no
keeps
shield.
People out of like something and it's like.
security shield?
A laser.
Force field. Okay, hang on.
Okay. Oh, I thought this was something Nate specifically
it's like
for
a force
like,
field.
Pussies.
Yeah, I was definitely like a special vagina shield.
A vagina
yeah.
shield.
When a pussy's bad.
Sulu, force field's up. That pussy stinks.
When the pussy's bad, there's a force field around
yes.
it, and you try to go towards it, and then your face just gets slammed into the thigh.
Pull out.
No. Not happening. You can't get too close. You're on the way, and it
that's
just
when you just have sex instead.
Can I ask the
in.
Ladies
yeah,
something?
So
I want
to
find out
yeah.
what all the ladies' opinions are.
Okay.
You know, this Caitlyn Jenner thing is pretty interesting because, uh-huh. like, you know, not only is, like, she pushing, like, this lifestyle into the mainstream, but it just seems like more and more fucking famous black guys are getting busted with trannies. And
I
it's
know,
like,
I don't get
what
it.
What is
yeah.
that? Well, I mean, like,
I kind of do get it because on my radio show, my other show on Tuesday, a girl suggested to me that I should go with a transgender because I love hot chicks, but I love a penis. I need a cock. So if I had a transgender, I'd get a hot blonde with some big boobs, but then she'd have a giant.
That's
you know,
not
cock.
A bad idea.
And then I'd be getting the penis and I'd be getting the hot girl.
Well, I wonder that it's like the weirdest thing is
like
how
it.
It's not considered gay. Like if you like
it is considered gay.
It is
no,
considered
but
gay
it's not by maybe the girls, but by yeah. everybody else. Like they give away tranny awards at the straight AVNs. It's like it's considered
so confusing.
A straight
yeah.
lifestyle. And
yeah.
that's it's like it's such an it's like a totally different like world right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's accepting in a very, very interesting
well,
way.
Well, because female bisexuality is like if you two started making out of the bar, everyone would be
hot,
like, shots,
yeah.
shots, shots,
right,
shots,
yeah.
shots.
Right.
If me and you
yeah.
started making
yeah.
out, people would be like, burn this place down! No, you know.
I think guys that want to try a transgender, I think it's because they've secretly wanted to try getting fucked in the ass, and by having a transgender, it like looks like a woman, so it feels like a woman, but they're getting to try anal sex me.
Do you think that's what it is?
Or I don't know. I can't figure out what else
I think
it would
that
be.
People watch so much porn now that it's completely changed.
Really?
People's
You think they're just desensitized
100%
to everything.
It's like, yeah. How about this Derek Rhodes? It's like got basically arrested for rape because him and his buddies ran a train on this chick. Like, brothers love running trains. I don't know what it is. I guess they like team sports, I guess. I don't know.
That's it.
But it's so, like, that's only, like, from fucking porn. Like, that's a big thing in porn. Bunch of black guys, one white chick.
Sounds
it's like
scary.
It's just like, it's like porn is changing the way people, their sexual habits.
You
man.
Have to, you
I
have,
don't
you
know.
Have to, it can desensitize you a little bit to, you know, what you're actually into, you know?
Yeah, like, but how often do you think it happens that, like, a guy just meets a hot drag queen, doesn't know that it's a dude?
I think that could happen, actually.
Yeah, and then by the time you discover the penis, you're so turned on, you're already, she's already, I mean, it's like, why not? Why not just finish the job?
I think it happens constantly that happens as well.
I believe it happens a lot.
I mean, I was at a bar when I used to work at Rage at the gay club. I was the bouncer, the front door bouncer at Rage for years.
That.
You remember,
I remember that?
For like years, I worked there, and I remember I walked up to the bar, and there was a girl with big tits, very pretty, sitting at the bar, and I was like, "Hey, can I buy you a drink?" And the bartender was like, "Check her ID," and I was like, "Oh, all right." And I checked the ID, and it just says Brett.
Can I say
Brett
something
Goldberg.
Funny? That the do you guys know that? And this is part of one of my jokes, but Mickey's got closed down the gay bar because they lost their liquor license. Because during a UFC screening, one of the go-go dancers just stripped naked and whipped his dick out, and somebody at the bar complained to the guy. Somebody actually went to Mickey's, the gay bar, to actually watch the fights and
oh
then called
God.
The cops because
oh
somebody's dick was out. Like closing a gay bar because someone's dick's out. It's like closing a library because somebody got caught reading. You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
Right?
It's so true. Sure. Oh my God, that's so crazy.
You know, who goes to a gay bar? It's like, ah, I want me here for the fights. Now this guy's got his dick in my face.
Put your dick away, man. This is a gay bar.
Oh, God.
Put your dick away, man. This is a gay bar.
I love going to gay bars to pick up men.
Yeah,
I go to pick up men.
I get sad when they're not like hitting on me sometimes. I'll be like, and I have to remind myself that they're gay.
You must get hit on at gay bars, though. I get hit on by women and straight guys.
Oh, well, I mean, like, I've only been a couple of times, but like, it was Fiesta Cantina like years ago. And I remember, like, it was, you know, a lot. I mean, they were really hot. They were talking to me. A lot of them were very, because I was for gay rights when I ran for governor. So a lot of them were coming up to me about that. But it was a different feeling than being, you know, in like a strip club. My normal environment is a strip club.
Yeah.
So it's definitely different in a gay bar.
I love how gay guys can just get away with basically
finger
blasting girls.
Yeah, yeah.
I was watching this knockoff of The View. It's like a brand new show. It's a knockoff, and it had a gay Asian guy on it. And they had this girl named Carissa Thompson, who's a really hot chick who's on Fox Sports 1 and does like this, I forget, one of these gossip shows, but she was on there and he's full on finger blasting her.
Come on.
Like it's like he's grabbing ass. You can tell she's really uncomfortable, but he's like a gay guy, so it's like, what are you gonna do?
It's totally true. It's totally true. They can get away with almost anything. Once I was sitting on my gay friend's lap in college, and he was the most flaming gay guy I ever met in my life, and all of a sudden he started making out with me, and then he got a boner, and I remember being like, well, this is okay, I guess, since he's gay, it doesn't count. Like, I just totally was like, this doesn't count as cheating. He's gay. It's
cheating.
Wow.
It's so weird.
It is weird.
The rules that are, the rules that there are is like, if you're a man that likes chicks, you're like the dirtiest scumbag in the room. Get the fuck out.
Right.
And chicks can do crazy shit with chicks, and gay guys can do crazy shit with gay guys, and gay guys can do crazy shit with women. But once you get a breeding man in there, all of a sudden it gets creepy.
It is funny.
I like breeding men. I like dirty, like I like scumbag guys. I
do too.
I do too. I love like people. I love Philadelphia because I like everyone's like, oh, everyone.
You mean
here
Tom
is,
Hanks with
everyone's
AIDS?
Like such a no, but like the sports fans, you know, like the crazy loud.
Me
I
too.
Like crazy loud drunk men. I love that stuff.
So do I. I like really. And here's the thing: I'm okay with scumbag guys as long as they wear it on their sleeve and they're real about
it.
I don't like scumbag guys that try to hide it and pretend they're the nice
guys.
But if you're just out there with it, like we were talking about this on another episode, that like I had a guy that straight up texted me and was like, like, I don't want to date you. I just want to bang you. And I was like, I love your honesty. Like, I'm so into that.
How cute is he, though? He has to be incredibly cute to be say that to you, and you're okay with that.
He's really hot.
If a four or a five said that, you'd be like, that's fucking rude. Sexual harassment has so much to do with how sexy you are.
You're so right.
Has anyone ever told Brad Pitt, listen, you're in my personal space, Brad Pitt?
Actually, you're really right about that, because that's if a true. Guy that wasn't that good looking was like, I don't want to take you on a date, I just want to bang you, I'd be like, are you fucking crazy?
Yeah.
Like,
that is
not. But this guy was like, I don't want to take you on a date, I just want to get my hands on your sexy ass. And I was like, where do you live?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Yeah.
But I like when guys are like really forward with their sexuality. Like, that actually turns me on. I'm like, oh, he's a man. Yeah. Like, he's going to be confident and know what he's doing.
Do you guys feel like sometimes, you know, being a are you ever attracted to someone that's kind of off brand? You know, like, maybe they're not like not everybody thinks they're a 10.
Dude, I love slightly cross-eyed, big fat teeth.
Come on.
Dude, there was this chick.
You're
in,
stupid.
I do. I was in Edmonton, and this chick came up with fucking donkey teeth, not full and just slightly cross-eyed, and I've never been more turned on in my
really?
Life.
The fuck are you talking about?
I don't know why. Dude, you can't explain it. It's just what gets your dick excited.
Yeah.
And that's cross-eyed buck tooth.
Wow.
I think it's hot as fuck. I don't know why.
Did you bang her?
No, I tried, but it's so weird. Like, guys are kind of fucked. If, like, a girl will claim a guy, like, a group of girls be like, I want him, he's mine.
Yeah.
You're fucked. Because if you can't hit on her friend,
exactly.
Because that violates the code, unless they're cunts and they don't like each other. But for the most part, unless if a girl claims you, you have really no say in it.
Guys do that too, though. I was so bummed. I was out one night not that long ago with these two super hot guys. We went skinny dipping at Venice Beach. There was me.
You sound like so much fun.
Thank you. Yeah, let's hang for sure.
Yeah. I'll get drunk and make out with you.
That's fine. We can tape it.
Why do we gotta get drunk? Let's just get this shit go. We got 20 minutes left of this podcast.
Come on, Maria, play some music. We'll be good to go.
But check this out. So this one guy, his name was, well, I won't say his name, but this one guy, he and I, we were totally flirting. He was so hot. I was definitely going to take him home and hook up with him. I was super into him. And then I went to the bathroom and I came back and I could tell while I was in the bathroom that him and his buddy had a conversation.
Oh, no.
Because when I came back, he was like barely talking to me and his friend was all over me. And I was so fucking annoyed. I was like, this is bullshit.
One of my favorite.
I would have just started going back with the other guy.
I tried. It was too late.
Yeah. One of my favorite people on the planet is Sebastian Maniscalco, and he's married now. But back when we were both like just got picked up at the Comedy Store, we would go out. We do like La Jolla together at the La Jolla Comedy Store, and we would just. It was an unwritten code between us. We let the chick pick who she wants. Like they'd have friends. One would be really hot. One would not be so hot. And we would just like let her pick. Other one jumps on the grenade.
Oh my God!
There was this one time that there was one really hot one, and one girl had man forehead, just like three floors of forehead, dude. And the hot one picked me, and he had to sit with her. And I used to have a joke about this. Like, this chick was so loud in the bedroom, like they were in the living room, and I was just fucking her, and it sounded like she was getting stabbed. She was like, and her friend's like, Ma, I think we gotta go. And Sebastian's like, what are you talking about? She's busy. And she's like, what do you mean? Can you hear her? She's getting stabbed right now.
Oh my god.
That is too
so funny.
I have to ask, so you ran for governor. You ran for actual governor. I have to hear about this. How did you go from adult films to governor?
You know, I'd only been out here about 6 months. I just started doing movies, and the company I was under contract with at the time, Kick-Ass Pictures, they said to me, do you want to run for governor? And I was like, I don't think so. I was like, well, I'm like, can I? I'm like, I was a theater major. You know, I don't know if that, you know, does that qualify? They're like, oh no, you just have to be 18, no felonies, and pay $3,500. Because in a recall election, you only need 65 signatures to get on a ballot. In a real election, it's like, you know, like 900,000. It's actually really hard to get the signatures. You can't get them online. You have to get them in person. They have to be registered as your political party. But for a recall, that's why so many people were able to enter it. And then I quickly just started learning, you know, like they kind of would like give me fact sheets and I start memorizing them. And, Yeah.
Was this like for real though? Would you have actually gone all the way?
I mean, like, it was funny because in the beginning it was totally just like, we didn't know I was going to get on the ballot. We were kind of doing it as a publicity stunt, just trying to get on like AVN.com, not knowing it was going to get picked up like all over and all the different news shows and everything. So then after we saw the press, he was like, you got to do it for real. We got to get you on the ballot. And so I got on the ballot. And then, you know, as it started progressing, I was like, oh, what if, you know, because we did a game show for Game Show Network called Who Wants to Be Governor of California? And it was myself, Gary Coleman, Bill Walton's son, about six of us. And I won that. And that one, I won the 21,000, but I won that based on votes. So I was like, well, maybe I'll win the election. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I thought it was a very cool thing, the recall, because it showed how you could be from any walk of life and run for office, where normally, you know, you don't get the opportunity.
You gotta be rich.
You do need to be rich.
I've always said I would love to be the mayor of like West Hollywood.
That's what I've said too.
Me too. Like run for mayor. Well,
Sounds good in theory until you actually get elected.
Is there an actual mayor of West Hollywood?
Yeah, there is.
It's
its own city.
You can be the mayor of Studio City. Yeah. You can be the mayor of
Hollywood, West Hollywood. They're all their own cities.
I would vote for Sam, actually.
Do you know that this woman in Calgary ran as a joke and she actually won? And then she's like, oh no. So then she's like actually having to do office, and all of her opponents are like, look at this racy picture they found. Like, it's all her like drinking, showing her tits. She's like, I didn't think I was gonna win. Now she's gotta run for like real office.
Oh my god.
Well, that's what I would imagine would have happened. Like, if you would have won, what would you have done?
I think the same thing as Schwarzenegger. I mean, basically, I think you know,
ruin the country. Ruin the state. I mean, he ruined us.
But yeah, I believe that when you're like the governor, you're almost like kind of like the spokesperson, and it's like everyone else like below you that's making all the decisions, and you're just kind of like the face of the state, putting it out there and telling me what's going on. So I don't think that, like, you know, when you're the governor, you actually make that many of the decisions. I think it's everyone else.
If I run for mayor of LA, this is what I want to do. I want to outlaw valets parking at meters. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I want to get rid of that. I want to make it so you can't do any road construction except for the hours between 1 in the morning and 7 in the morning.
Yes.
That when nobody's on
that
it, you can do
done.
That.
Yeah,
okay. I want to make all marches, walks, and everything happen at the Staples Center, not in the middle of Hollywood.
Thank you.
You know, boom. And then I want to legalize prostitution. I want to make America great again by taxing hooker ass. I want a flat tax on anal. 20%. 20% flat tax on anal.
I agree about legalizing prostitution.
I was with you to the end. Yeah, yeah. I was with you right
to
the end.
Are you against prostitution?
Not at all.
She's against anal.
I'm just not sure about the flat tax on
me
anal.
Too. I like the prostitution part, not the anal part.
So, but what if I'm willing to pay for a little more? And if I bang you in the ass, that can buy a couple more textbooks for the children.
That's a really nice suggestion.
That's sweet.
Sam, no child left behind from Sam Tripoli.
They can all have their own limo rides to school. If you tax pussy, they can all have their own limo rides to school.
Absolutely.
I think 100%. Prostitution
should
100%
be legal.
I totally agree.
What's the view on anal in this room? Where are we guys at?
I'm not anal. I've only done it twice when I was drunk, and apparently, like, it didn't work that well. Yeah,
the next day,
different guys were like, you know, it's really gross. Like, they're like, you like made a mess. I'm like, why'd you stick it in my ass? Like, I don't know. You did porn. You said stick it in my ass. I'm like, don't listen to me when I'm drunk.
Hold on, you asked for it.
Apparently, when I get drunk, I like to say like stick it in my ass, fuck my ass. But I like don't.
You don't mean
I don't
it.
Mean it I don't
You're just
think.
Saying it to be
but
hot.
When I get drunk, and like so two different times, I don't remember. It was like right before Celebrity episode. I heard it didn't work well. So, like, you know, and I've been getting tips now.
Right.
Every week I ask a different girl about what they do for, like, anal. And it just doesn't sound
too
like
messy.
Fun.
You know, I was on another podcast and we were talking about this the other night.
Name dropper.
Another. Uh-huh. I'm not into it. Like, I like a finger there.
Yeah.
I don't want to hold.
I like a ring a doorbell. I like to ring the doorbell.
Yeah, cool, I like fine. That. But the guys on this other show were saying it's not that great because it's tight when you first get it in. But once you're inside, it's just like a wide open space.
100%.
It's not even that good.
Yeah. I've heard stories of girls who did porn who did too much of it where they actually have like
diapers,
bowel problems afterwards. Yeah.
I don't like to even think about
so,
like, it.
Yeah,
grosses me
I can't.
Out.
I can't know.
I think it's just a power thing, and guys like to do it because it's a sense of power. There are girls who love getting fucked. They just do. Just like there's guys that like to get banged in the ass. There's girls who love it in the ass.
Hey, Maria, what about you?
Yeah, Maria, you into a little butt fucking?
I've never done it before, and it just, it sounds messy.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not,
plus,
there sounds like too much preparation.
Just rude.
Has to go
well,
into
yeah,
it.
They, yeah. The like, porn stars I know, they don't eat for like a day. Like, they're like,
oh my
I have,
God,
you know,
me too.
I can eat for like a day, and like,
yeah.
You know, I'm
no,
like, yeah, I'm not
my gay friends tell me about it, and they're like, yeah, we have to watch what we eat. And like, if
that
you're
is
going
so
out for
horrible.
Stand,
it's horrible.
Like, really,
they got to clean up
yeah,
before.
Yeah.
Oh my God. But you know what? I have to say, this is going to make me sound like a crazy person, but I do that when I know I'm going to fuck anyway. I'm so crazy yeah. about my body that if I know I'm having sex that night, I'll like eat breakfast and not eat the rest of the day because I want to feel really like thin.
Is there
when
a certain
fuck.
Breakfast you eat?
Breakfast of champions?
Do we know what it is?
It's coffee and asshole, Sam. You know that.
The breakfast of champions.
No, I just, I eat like egg whites in the morning and then I yeah. don't eat the rest of the day. I'm really,
so
really.
So when we see you eating egg whites, we know
we
it's
know
fucking time.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something really funny. Like last week, there was like 3 days where I was chasing this guy. I was like so sure I was going to fuck this guy. So every day I like wouldn't eat all day. And aww. Then every night he'd like flake out and I'd be like, God damn it, it's too late to eat now and I'm so fucking hungry. And then the next day he'd be like, let's hook up tonight for sure. So I wouldn't eat all day. So there was like 3 days I barely ate because I was waiting to fuck.
That's
is that, wait now, is that the Jenny Craig program or is that the Weight Watchers
you,
program?
For
I don't
me,
know that one.
Because I'm so crazy about my body, sex is like the best motivation to stay in shape. If I know I'm going to be having a lot of sex, I like yeah. really, really watch what
you
I
know
eat.
What's so funny about you is you definitely, you're, you prepare for sex. Like guys give a fuck. Like
I
you
know,
show up there
prepare.
Bloated. I mean, I like cross-eyed buck tooth people. You know what I'm saying? Like
I never knew half the times when I was gonna have sex if I was or not. It was usually an alcohol-based decision.
Right.
So I didn't do any preparation.
Yeah, no prep. You don't have to prep.
No prep.
I know that guys
you're just
don't
doing
care.
It to yourself.
I know that guys don't care, but here's the thing: the sex is better for me when
no,
I feel hot.
Good.
So that's why
sure.
I do it. So that I yeah. get off more time.
No, for yeah. sober sex, I like to like, you know, have
for sober
that.
Sex. Yeah.
For drunk sex, I don't care.
But are you sex ready at all times? Like I'm
I mean,
super
I'm
sex ready.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I always I'm like shaved
yeah, too.
And I just yeah, yeah.
I'm always
yeah.
shaved.
The drop of a hat, you can bone.
Always.
Yes. Always,
always ready. Always
shaved and bleached.
Always showered yeah. and shaved. I mean, it's, yeah. I just don't like having. I just don't like. It's itchy and it grows. Again, so
yeah,
I
don't
like,
have any hair there.
Me neither.
It's itchy and also I have a theory that girls that have smelly vaginas, it's because they're not lasered. I think the smell is from hair.
No,
I really
totally
do.
Disagree
no, it's
with
not,
that. Yeah. It has nothing to do with that.
I think the,
sorry,
it has, the hair traps
you have
the
a
smell.
Sewer for a pussy. That's
no,
what it is.
Sam, I'm
you
telling you.
You have a
you.
Fucking sewer down
if you get
there.
Lasered and you drink a lot
well,
of water.
Kate,
I think
not
it's
Kate,
it.
But you know.
Yeah, no, Kate doesn't. I'm sure your smells like roses.
Spring garden down there.
Smells like the Lord.
But also, do you taste? I taste test to make sure.
Girls do that all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll smell my taint. I'll like do a little go, hey, are we good right now in case something happens?
Sure.
Dude, I'm not like a chick, but dude, if I know I hadn't showered, if like I take a dump, I'm like, no, we're not hooking up. I don't want, I just think it's rude. Girls try to eat my ass. I'm like, fuck, why are you doing that? That's rude.
Girls really try to do that?
I do
girls,
it if a guy asks.
I've never done it. Maybe in a girl.
Holy
girl
shit, Kate.
I dated a guy that asked.
I've never eaten a guy's ass.
You
girls
haven't?
Like to do it.
No,
I'm like, what are you doing?
Girls.
No, unless I go in there and I go to the bathroom, I NASCAR that shit. Just like,
I wouldn't want
to just clean it all up, get right to the bat.
I don't like offer it up, but if a guy asks and I like him, but I got to be with him, you know.
Yeah,
and I also
yeah.
got to know like his shower.
Do you
schedule.
Like your ass
yeah.
eaten?
Yes.
Yeah, I just met a girl's like, oh, that's gross. I'm like, a big problem for women is that they don't understand a lot of sex is not about them. And I know I'm going to get murdered for saying that, but the truth is, I paid for dinner. I did all this. I just want to fucking lock and load right now. If I just paid for fucking $200 for dinner, I'm going to eat that ass. Whether it's your thing or not. That sounds rapey, but it's not.
You're like, you got the lobster, I got
yeah.
the ass, bitch.
You ordered a lobster fucking roll. I get to eat your asshole.
But I don't understand. I think girls that aren't into it, just I think they haven't had it done properly or something. Like, how can you not? It feels amazing.
Yeah, like, what is the guy eating it? Like, corn on the cob? Just
What about you? Are you into that?
You know what? I like when girls do it. Again, you know what? And this is a weird thing. I like when girls go down on me better. I like that because I think girls feel. I just like the way a girl feels. So I like when girls do it. Guys, I'm like, eh. Like,
I think you
like,
need
I hate when
training.
Guys are like, if a guy is like going down on me for too long, like after like a certain amount of time, I start getting like bored with guys. And same thing with like, I just.
Interesting.
Yeah. But, I just like.
I listen to her and I
cock
think.
Inside me.
But you need a cock inside
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Because otherwise I'd totally be with girls. I like girls better in a lot. Well, I like guys, though, because I'm very, like, I'm not girly in a lot of ways. Like, I like pink and stuff, but other than that, I'm more like a guy.
Like, I think a lot of, like, super hot lesbians are like that. I'm going to lose all respect on this podcast, but, you know, it's like lipstick lesbians. They're just mad at dick for a short time. They get angry at dick, and this fucking lesbian came in, swooped in, and then, but then they get bored of fucking fixing their own flat tires and paying for dinner that they end up running fucking back to dick. I'm just going to put it out there. You can hate me.
Oh, yeah, because so many guys are great at changing flat tires now. I feel like guys don't know how to do that shit anymore.
They really don't know.
Yeah, we've raised retards.
Yeah. It's so hot to me when a guy knows how to, like, do it. Yeah, like, I dated a guy who knew how to change his own oil. I was like, that is the hottest shit. Yeah, like, guys don't know how to do that stuff anymore.
Right.
So hot.
All right, guys, before we wrap this thing up, we do have to...
Quickman's like, fuck this conversation.
No. Before we wrap this thing up, we do have to ask the ultimate question about the show.
Yes.
Show is called Date Fails. Let's hear, if you have a date fail, a date that you've been on in your life that turned out absolutely horrendous.
The worst.
Sam, you or Mary, who would like to go first?
Mary wants to go first. She can.
Sure, I'll go first. Please, Mary. You know what? Since we're talking about how porn, we think, desensitizes people, my girlfriend, and this is like a friend of mine from high school and like college and stuff, so she said she was going to set me up with this like nice Jewish guy. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to try this. And I got to his house, and right away he just started talking to me about porn and porn stars and naming like 30 different porn stars. And he didn't want to even go to dinner. He just wanted to like hang out at his house. And I'm like, no, you're
Netflix
taking me to
and
dinner
chill.
And then he just started asking me more and more about porn, telling me how he jerks off every day from 5 to 6. He watches his one website. And then, like, finally, when I got back to his house, I'm like, okay, I gotta go, but can I see the website? And then I saw that he'd just been watching like all my movies before I came over. But like, he seemed like such a normal guy.
He was just a groupie.
And I even said to him, like, if you weren't, like, if I hadn't done porn, would you have talked to me? Like, I feel like this is a bad first date thing. Like, do not be telling every girl your porn obsession and how, you know. So for me, it was the worst date. But like, not like porn. And I felt like it was maybe like, it was bad that this guy from like literally 5 to 6 p.m. every day, he said he had to watch an hour of porn. And it was like a website he was a member of, and he like paid for his porn. And it was like from 5 to 6 every day he watched porn. And I can't imagine a lot of like normal women would like that. I mean, no. I didn't really like it. So I can't imagine like, but he might keep it a secret. I started thinking like, because guys will be really open with me where I think they normally would maybe hold things back. I hear the craziest sex things like all the time. So
yeah.
I don't know. That was a horrible date for me.
That's pretty uncomfortable.
Sounds awful.
Very bad date.
That sounds pretty bad.
Porn addict date.
Have you ever dated any celebrity type people?
Yeah, I mean, like, I really liked basketball players for a long time, like NBA things.
Unbelievable.
NBA players were my favorite thing for a while. And
did you get banned from Laker games?
No, but you know, I'm actually going on Monday because my friend is a play-by-play announcer for Lakers. But
nice.
And I did not have sex with him. I've known him for like 12, 13
Which
years.
Which one is
calm
it?
Calm down.
Bill McDonald. No sex with him. We're just friends. Right. But
is he cute?
I used to, he's a nice guy. He's nice. But
is Bill McDonald ever sexy? Is that a sexy name?
No.
I think he's cute. He's cute. But no, I would purposely like go to like games and sit behind like the bench. And, you know, and usually a player always asks for your number.
Really?
You know? Yeah.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, so it was like my thing for like from 2004 to 2008. It was just like, and I would hook up with a player. They'd fly me to their city. I would like bring a friend always, and I would, you know, go.
We do need to hang out.
Yeah.
I will sit behind the bench, tits out. I'll be in a bikini. I'll be at the game in a bikini behind the bench.
Yeah, the thing is, you got to be careful. Like, I started sitting around the away team bench because once you fucked a player on a team, you have to like move, you know, they won't.
Yeah, sit on the away team.
So I started sitting behind the away team, and I started going to Clipper games because they were cheaper. So I would sit in the away team, like right in the front row behind the Clippers, and then I would always get a player that would be like, ask for my number.
Have you hooked up with Blake Griffin?
No, I haven't. See, this is like more like,
you want to fuck Blake Griffin? You want that orange dick?
I think he's really hot.
We can just call our friend
Roy
that discovered him, V. Stiviano.
Right, V.
According to
Roy Wood Jr. told me that he can hook me up with Blake. He sent me a text. He's like, I'm going to get you some of that ginger dick.
Oh, get you that ginger dick.
I'm like, please do.
All right, what about you, Sam?
one night I was at the Comedy Store, and I went over to the Saddle Ranch, and this Australian guy just thought, hey, mate, I saw you at the Comedy Store. You were really funny. That was my Australian accent.
That was good.
And we were just talking. Then out of nowhere, these three like Mexican hairstylists, like they're attractive girls, started talking to us, and we started drinking. This is back when I drank, and we were just drinking and getting shit-faced. So like, Australians are always like, we can drink Americans under the table. We're fucking drinking on the table. But if you go to Australia, you know, they get like thimbles worth of shots. Their shot of Jack is like a thimble. They don't do like American Saddle Ranch.
Right.
I call Saddle Ranch the house of syphilis built. You know what I'm saying? Like these fucking kegs of fucking Jack Daniels, and we're shooting. We drive them back. We're like, hey, you guys want to go back to my house? They're like, yeah, man, let's go. So I bring the Australian and the three chicks. I'm like, somebody's got to bang one of these chicks while I hook up with the one that I want to hook up with. So we go back. I got booze in my place. We're all doing shots and all this stuff. We're drinking some more. I go in the back and I start fooling around with this chick, you know, and I we're half naked. We're fooling around. All of a sudden her friend runs in, grabs, goes, we got to go. Pulls the fuck out. I'm like, got my pants around my ankles. I'm like, what the fuck? I come out. The Australian is passed out, blackout, passed out drunk on the fucking couch. They run out. They run outside. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? We got to go. We got to go. I go back in. They had stolen Xbox games.
Oh, my God.
Some DVDs. Wow. And a ton of fucking cash for me because fucking Crocodile Dundee had passed out and had been a good fucking wingman, and I lost fucking money.
Oh, wow. That's is a bad fucking one. Horrendous.
Yeah, dude. Bad. These shady-ass fucking Mexican hairstylists.
You win. Sam wins.
That's bad. Holy
shit. That's
all right,
the
guys.
Worst.
Well, we got to wrap things up, but why don't you tell everyone where they can find you, where they can listen to you, and all that jazz.
All that jazz.
And all that jazz.
Go, Mary.
Okay. Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific, on vividradio.com, Sirius XM 791, the Mary Carey Happy Hour.
Yay.
Yay. It's always happy hour there.
What's your Twitter?
Real Mary Carey, and Instagram is Mary Carey. I'm so excited I got my real name on Instagram.
Oh,
good
so
job.
Great.
I know,
good
like.
You can catch me all social media at Sam Tripoli, TRIPOLI. Check out my podcast, Punch Drunk Sports. And then if you go on iTunes, put in the Naughty Show, you can listen to the International Bad Boys Hour. So thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming.
Thank
you killed it.
Too.
Thanks, guys.
Fun.
Again, I'm Stephen Kramer Glickman at Stephen Glickman. On Twitter and Instagram, and the nighttime show at the Lyric Theater, November 11th.
I want to come.
You got to come.
You should. It's going to be amazing.
Okay.
Good.
And I'm at Kate Q Funny everywhere. And this has been Date Fails. You guys are the best. Thanks for listening. Bye.